Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We'll read verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? For the mother of my Lord comes to me. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with great things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do we understand how wild this scripture is? I just want to start there. Like, did we understand how wild this scripture is? So, for all of Advent, I have been sharing my gripes with songs, particularly these children's songs that are so deep and meaningful, and they bring these deep theological insights in ways that children can understand them. And the song today is "Jesus Loves Me." How are we feeling so far? I hope I'm starting off strong. Let's just make everybody uncomfortable. See how we get there. All right, here we go. You ready for me to sing? We brought this on ourselves. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little children to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." What in the world could I have gripes with that song? I've got a few. I'm actually not going to share all of them because I'm trying to stay out of trouble, just so you know. But I've got some gripes. Begins with what we talk about love. So many different things can be love. So many different ways that we can show love. So many different ways that we can be in loving relationships with one another. Jesus loves me. That's wonderful. The Bible tells me so. That's wonderful. But we read this scripture this morning. We hear of Mary's visit with Elizabeth. We hear Mary's song, the Magnificat. We hear these words of God's love. And I've got to wonder if any of it is simply because the Bible tells me so. That's my gripe. So let's go back to this scripture. Let's try to understand and see and realize just how wild and crazy this scripture is. Now, the Gospels are the story of Jesus' life. The point, the purpose of writing and reading and trying to understand the scriptures is to get a picture of who Jesus was, to get an understanding of what his teachings are, to listen and see his ministry, to see his healings, and also to get a picture of his death and his resurrection. These are the purpose of the Gospels being written. Now, Mark and John and Matthew and Luke as well, the meat of those Gospels begin with Jesus' baptism. Okay, Jesus' life, death, ministry, teachings all begin at his baptism. Mark and Luke give us these scenes before that. This gospel in Luke, these first two, three chapters, are the story before the story. Picture of sitting in a movie theater or on your couch with the lights dimmed. You've started the movie. This gospel begins like any great movie. It's got a little bit of a time reference so you understand who was the king when all this was happening. Frame your mind. And then as the camera pans down, we see this old guy in the temple. His name's Zechariah. And Zechariah, when he goes into the temple, when he's in the sanctuary of the Lord, there's an angel there. And this old man, Zechariah, has this conversation with an angel. And Zechariah is told that he and his old wife, Zechariah calls her old himself. That's not me. Okay, I don't know why I looked back that way when I said that either. I apologize. Hey, we're fighting words today, I guess. I don't know. Zechariah, you and your wife, though you are old, will have a child, and this child will be amazing. They will prepare the way for the Lord. Now, Zechariah is understandably concerned and confused. He says, How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years. See, he tried to say it nicely. How can this be? How will I know that this is so? And the angel gets upset with them and says, Dude, I am Gabriel. I've sat in the presence of the Lord. When I speak to you, you know that it's true. So pay attention. Because of your unbelief, you're not going to talk until that baby shows up. It's a great opening scene. The next scene, we cut from the temple and we go into the room of a young girl. We are told that she is a virgin who is engaged. The same angel comes to her and says, "Do not be afraid, favored one. The Lord is with you." The angel also speaks to this young girl. We're told that her name is Mary and says, "You will have a child. You will bear a son and he will be great. You will call him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David." Another incredible, amazing proclamation. Now Mary, unlike old man Zechariah, does not have this disbelief. She doesn't ask, "How am I to know that this is so?" She simply says, "How? How can this be?" The angel goes on to say that the Most High will overshadow you, and the child will be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And then the angel lets Mary know that her relative, Elizabeth, the same old lady, by the way, is also bearing a child, and you and they and these children ought to get to know one another. Mary says, "All right, here I am." From there, we pick up with our story. Imagine being Mary, being engaged, being a virgin, being this young girl who is assumedly living in poverty, and you're told all of these things. How upsetting would that be? What do you do when you're upset? Sometimes you go see family, right? Your ride or dies. Find those people who will be there for you no matter what. Mary sets out and goes into the wilderness, into the hill country, to find this relative, to find Elizabeth. Zechariah is still not speaking at this time, so that's great for everybody. Mary knocks on the door. And John, the child in Elizabeth's womb, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and his purpose is to prepare the way of the Lord, John does his first little prophecy. When he hears Mary's voice, the child leaps in her womb. Already John is doing what he's been called to do. Point the way for the Lord. Let others know who is coming. And because Elizabeth feels this child leaping in her womb, Elizabeth is also filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a wild thing. It's incredible. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. We have those beautiful words in the Gospel of John when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. This Holy Spirit can come from anywhere and strike at any point. It fills Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is the one who is the first person to proclaim who and what Jesus is. How about that? This old woman who's also experiencing her own incredible pregnancy is the first one to publicly speak aloud who Jesus is. How blessed is the fruit of your womb. How blessed am I? How is this happening that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Your child is my Lord. How simply incredible. And then Mary just burst out into song. Just begins to sing from the depths of her soul. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And this song is important. Because like any beginning to a good movie, there is that foreshadowing piece. If you pay close enough attention to good enough movies, you can understand what's going to happen the whole time. Maybe I've just got one of those weird brains that I try to do that anyways. I don't know. Has anybody seen Red One yet? It's on Prime, the movie theaters, The Rock. Have you seen it, Bryson? It's a good movie. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Chris Evans. Anyway, Santa Claus gets abducted, and his security, he's got security like the president, which is The Rock. Apparently nobody's seen it, so I'll just move ahead. It's on Prime. Watch it this afternoon, guys. Come on. And if you pay attention, you can picture exactly what's going to happen by the end of the movie, but never mind. This song of Mary tells us everything that we need to know about this Jesus. It tells us everything we need to know about why Jesus is here on this earth, why he is sent, what will be happening, what God is doing through Jesus. This song lays it all out in a concise way at the very beginning. The Mighty One has done great things. His mercy is for who? Those who fear him. Generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brought down the powerful from their thrones, and lifted up the lowly. We like to skip over that one. Cast down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lonely. Filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Well, we really don't like that one. This is why Jesus has come, to turn this world upside down. To put those who are on top at the bottom. To uplift those who are at the bottom back up on top. God is doing this amazing thing that will come about from this child that is in Mary's womb. It's incredible. It's incredible. This is the love that the gospel shares. This is the love that the gospel shares. Not an upholding or strengthening of the power that those who already have it, but that power, if it's used to marginalize and hurt others, will be stripped away and they'll be cast down. Those who are hungry will be given food. Those who hoard their money and their food and cause the hunger of others will be sent away empty. Mary's singing. This is a great song. Listen to the words. This is the love that is shared through Jesus Christ. And so our song. You want to sing it again? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. This is what the Bible tells us. But also, my gripe. Mary does not know these things because she's read them in the scriptures. Mary does not proclaim this love, and her soul does not rejoice and magnify the Lord because of something that she has read. This love is known to her through what God has done. She has seen and felt and understood and been in the presence of God. That's why her soul magnifies. She has gone and found her community and her family, this relative Elizabeth up in the hill country, and that is what fills her soul, not simply reading it in a book. Do we simply tell our children that Jesus loves them because this Bible says so? Or do we help them see all the ways in which God's love is profoundly evident in their life? Do we show and share all the many things from generation to generation that God has done in our lives and in the lives of those around us to share that love? Do we simply tell them to read a book, or do we participate in bringing down the powerful and feeding the hungry with them side by side with us? Jesus does love us. This Bible does help us understand that, but God's love, Christ's love, is so much more evident than words on a page. It is a living, breathing presence in our lives. We respond to it in many different ways. This church is amazing. We got a call this week that someone, another family, still needed help. One person, can I say your name? Mary? Mary got together with the exercise group, another member, and things came together that seemed so out there and weird that they would be connected. And this family got the help that they needed. Their children and the children that they care for will receive a wonderful blessing on Christmas, because that love was felt and acted upon. We've got hospice bags that are ready to go. God's love is so much more evident than simply by reading a book. Make sure our kids know that. But also, let's make sure that we're living and sharing lives that express that love. Let's not be those do as I say and not as I do people. Let us practice and share this love that God proclaims and shares with us over and over again. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves each and every one of us. The Bible tells us so, but so do the lives that we leave. Bless us. Merry Christmas. Amen.